They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We've read it many times in the Bible, how God gave rest to the weary man. We've seen in days of old how he blessed them. They were given strength by his mighty hand. Well, I'm sure that they had times of test and waiting, and wondered if his promise could prove true. But it's plain to see that he'd meet their need. Shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
There have been so many times in my own life, my soul was weary and my heart was weak. Then Jesus came and blessed me.
Shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew.
Time and again, I have seen in Scripture where our seemingly mysterious Creator specifically addresses the sayings, questions, and queries of His children Israel. Through the prophets, writings and proclamations, he plainly answers the complaints of those who bear his name and gives exact instruction as to how he needs things done. I fear I may have picked a subject that can go on and on because, honestly speaking, if we take the time to read the scriptures, we will gain insight as to how he is to be worshipped. By learning from Israel's mistakes, queries in life, we can be better armed to face the battles that confront us on a daily basis. We must remember that Israel isn't from Aesop's fables. Sometimes it seems that way. It did for me for years. It was a nice story, and Moshe was talking to them, and I really had nothing to worry about because everything they had to do was not what I had to do. That was such a long time ago, and things have changed so much that this really doesn't apply to me. That type of thinking is what's tripping millions up today. When we forget the words of Isaiah 40 verse 8, the word of God stands forever. In Malachi 3:6, I, Yehovah, do not change, and you, sons of Jacob, will not be destroyed. We tread on dangerous ground by inserting our own interpretation into the worship of the one we owe our very breath to. The wisdom of Proverbs will be our starting point. In all honesty, I did a you say search on the scriptures and found a treasure trove of information. Myriad scriptures show up that address the you say Israel, but I, Yehovah, say, that give a cause and effect explanation of how our God thinks about specific behavior. Yeshua is Yehovah in the flesh, and he spoke only the words of the Father. and many think that the words of Yeshua are the only words that we have on record to show how our Father thinks. Quite the contrary. Throughout the prophets, you say, I say, is reiterated over and over again, lending ample opportunity to see for ourselves how our unchanging God thinks and reacts to certain situations we find ourselves in. I will take the time to give the background and the context so that we don't find ourselves making a doctrine of one line in Scripture. We must always guard against that. So now we'll take a many-faceted journey into what Yehovah has to say about almost any situation. Proverbs 24:7. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He keeps his mouth shut at the city gate. He who plans to do evil, people call a schemer. The evil plans of the foolish are sin, and people detest a scorner. If you slack off on a day of distress, your strength is small indeed. Yes, rescue those being dragged off to death. Won't you save those about to be killed? If you say, we knew nothing about it, won't he who weighs hearts discern it? Yes, he who guards you will know it and repay each one as his deeds deserve. This is a very telling scripture to begin our discovery with. The line, if you say we knew nothing about it, has much weight. If we claim we don't know what Yehovah wants with all this scripture in front of us telling us what he wants, won't he who weighs hearts discern it? There is nothing that's hidden from Yehovah, and he knows when we are earnestly seeking him with all our hearts. He accepts no bribes, and false promises are heard for exactly what they are. It would do us well to note verse 12 here as well. The fiery coals, however, had dealt with this subject, and as usual, when we're going over a new topic, 2 to 3 more witnesses show up to confirm a previous one. He will repay each one as his deeds deserve, lends to one being very careful of the things they do and say. Isaiah 19, starting at verse 4, a prophecy regarding Egypt and her ultimate fate. Yehovah warns Israel about getting full of pride because of her ancestry and chosen status. I will hand over the Egyptians to a cruel master. A harsh king will rule them, says Yehovah Sabaoth. The water will ebb from the sea, the river will be drained dry, the rivers will become foul, the canals of Egypt's Nile will dwindle and dry up, the reeds and rushes will wither, the river plants on the banks of the Nile and everything sown near the Nile will dry up, blow away, and be no more. Fishermen, too, will lament. All who cast hooks on the Nile will mourn. Those who spread nets on the water will lose heart. The linen workers will be in despair along with the weavers of white cotton. The spinners will be crushed, the hired workers dejected. The princes of Zoan are utter fools. Pharaoh's wisest counselors give stupid advice. How can you say to Pharaoh, I'm a sage descended from the kings of old? Where are they then, those sages of yours? Let them tell you, so all can know what Yehovah Sabaoth has planned against Egypt. Yehovah is against anyone inquiring of anything not related to him and his word, including idols, and in this case, sages of Egypt, get any kind of information. This goes along with Isaiah 42, verses 8, 9, and 17. I am Yehovah, that is my name. I yield my glory to no one else, nor my praise to any idol. See how the former predictions come true and how new things I do declare? Before they sprout, I tell you about them. Those who trust in idols, who say to statues, you are gods, will be repulsed in utter shame. Isaiah 30 gets into not only the present physical travails that Israel was dealing with, but with the spiritual implications that we as believers must take in as well. When we find ourselves in dire straits thinking we're flat on our backs, and the rest of that saying is very true, we can only look up. What do we look up to? Is it our Creator? Do we cry to Him for help? Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Do we take these words to heart? Or do we lean on humans or institutions or earthly wisdom for guidance? In effect, if we do, we have gone to Egypt for help instead of crying out to our God for deliverance. Isaiah 37:30, verse 7. For Egypt's help is worthless, pointless. So I call her arrogance doing nothing. Now go, inscribe it on a tablet. Write it for them on a scroll so that on the final day it will be a witness forever and ever. For this is a rebellious people. They are lying children, children who refuse to hear the Torah of Yehovah. They say to the seers, do not see. To those who have visions, do not tell us of the visions you have as they really are, but flatter us, fabricate illusions. Get out of the way, leave the path, rid us of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, here is what the Holy One of Israel says. Because you reject this word, trust in exhortation, and rely on deceit, this sin will become for you a crack, bulging out on a high wall, showing signs it is ready to fall. Then suddenly, all at once, it breaks. He will break it like a clay pot, ruthlessly shattering it into pieces so tiny not even a potsherd remains for taking fire from the fireplace or scooping water from the cistern. For this is what Yehovah Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, says. Returning and resting is what will save you. Calmness and confidence will make you strong. But you want none of this. No, you say. We will flee on horseback. Therefore you will surely flee. And we will ride on swift ones. So your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, and you will all flee at the threat of 5, until you're left isolated, like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. I have a friend that likes the word suddenly in Scripture, and I have to agree with him. When you see that word, it's an indication of the thief in the night concept. When you see the word suddenly, I highly suggest you heed the words in front of it, because it surely applies to you. And upon your own heads again applies. Therefore you will surely flee. And the words implied but not spoken are, not from me, but from them. Ouch. So on the final day it will be a witness. Isaiah 30 verse 8. What is the final day, and why the need for a witness? This next scripture came as a surprise to me. We're also so familiar with Isaiah 40. They that wait upon Yehovah shall renew their strength. The song that played at the beginning of this is a very apt description of everyone's concept of this scripture. It's all taken as past tense. Did you ever notice that? He'll do for us what he did for them. So few understand what is happening right now is what Isaiah 40 is talking about. We're still waiting for Yehovah to gather his sheep to Jerusalem. Israel was scattered for idolatry, and few even know their roots or identities even today. The Jews, or the house of Yehuda in Jerusalem, are very aware of their identity. But correct me if I'm wrong, there were 12 tribes in Horeb at Sinai. Where's the other 11? They are scattered, as Jeremiah said. Isaiah 40:27. Why do you complain, Yaakov? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from Yehovah, my rights are ignored by God? Haven't you known, haven't you heard that the everlasting God, Yehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow tired or weary? His understanding cannot be fathomed. He invigorates the exhausted. He gives strength to the powerless. Young men may grow tired and weary, even the fittest may stumble and fall. But those who hope in Yehovah will renew their strength. They will soar aloft with eagle's wings. When they are running, they won't grow weary, and when they're walking, they won't get tired. We must keep reading to get the context of this scripture once again. Isaiah 41:4. Whose work is this? Who has brought it about? He who called the generations from the beginning. I, Yehovah, am the first, and I am the same with those who are last. called the generations from the beginning? What does that mean? And I am the same with those who are last? Really? Who are those who are the last? Last Israel? Last generation? I consider myself to be the last generation, as we all do, Jew, Israelite, Gentile alike. The generations seems to be somewhat a generic term. We're all part of a generation, aren't we? How do we apply this scripture to us, and how has he called us? This much I can tell you. He's called us to obey his Torah, his law, his mitzvot, his rulings, his word. The next segment is a bit difficult to go over, so I'll have to let the words speak for themselves. Yehovah is very implicit with the I say, you say concept. Those that don't have an ear for what Yehovah is saying will call this segment harsh, unloving, mean, and completely out of context. I've seen it before. Yehovah would never do that. He loves me. I say from experience, get rid of the me part. It does you no good. First of all, the following words were addressed to Israel and those that have or had decided to ally themselves with her and her laws, rulings, and mitzvot. That concept is most easily recognized in the top 10 commandments. Remember the Shabbat to keep it holy. You, your manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, and stranger within your gates. We are the stranger within the gates, and we'd better recognize that 7 billion people on this earth are living within Israel's gates. And as soon as that is recognized, things will go much smoother. Or in Yehovah's words, things will go well with you. But now I have no choice but to shout the words in your ears, just as Jeremiah was commanded so many years ago. There's a lot of you that said, or in opposite terms, didn't ask, I say going on here, and I pray you hear. Those that have ears, let them hear what the set-apart spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh, is saying to the assemblies. Jeremiah chapter 2. The word of Yehovah came to me. Go and shout in the ears of Yerushalayim that this is what Yehovah says. I remember your devotion when you were young, how as a bride you loved me, how you followed me through the desert through a land not sown. Israel is set aside for Yehovah, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devour him will incur guilt. Evil will befall them, says Yehovah. Hear the word of Yehovah, house of Yaakov, and all the families in the house of Israel. Here is what Yehovah says. What did your ancestors find wrong with me to make them go so far away from me, to make them go after nothings and become themselves nothings? They didn't ask, where is Yehovah who brought us out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the desert, through the land of wastes and ravines, through a land of drought and death, dark shadows, through a land where no one travels and no one ever lived? I brought you into a fertile land to enjoy its fruit and all its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage loathsome. The Kohanim didn't ask, where is Yehovah? Those who deal with the Torah did not know me. And I was in the process of putting this all together, and as soon as I read that, John chapter 3 jumped in my head when Nicodemus came up to Yeshua. John chapter 3, verse 10. Yeshua answered him, you hold the office of teacher in Israel, and you don't know this? Yes, indeed. I tell you that what we speak about, we know. And what we give evidence of, we've seen. But you people don't accept our evidence. If you people don't believe me when I tell you about the things of the world, how will you believe me when I tell you about the things of heaven? The next line in Jeremiah 2 is continuing on in verse 8, and it says, the people's shepherds rebelled against me. And again, I heard the words of John 19:15 in my head. They shouted, take him away, take him away, put him to death on the stake. Pilate said to them, you want me to execute your king on a stake? The head Kohanim answered, We have no king but the emperor. And the next line in Jeremiah 2. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things of no value. So again, I state my case against you, says Yehovah, and state it against your grandchildren too. And again, he's going back, Yehovah is, to the words he spoke in Exodus 20:15. You are not to bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yehovah your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Continuing on to verse 10 of Jeremiah 2. Cross to the coast of the Kittim and look, send to the Kedar and look, observe closely. See if anything like this has happened before. This verse 11 just has always tickled my brain, and I've tried to think of any way I've ever seen it happen, and of course we're listening to Yehovah's words. I can't imagine anything like Jeremiah 2 verse 11 ever occurring. It says, has a nation ever exchanged its gods, and they're not gods at all, yet my people have exchanged their glory for something without value. Be aghast at this, you heavens. Shudder in absolute horror, says Yehovah. For my people have committed two evils. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a slave born into serfdom? If not, why has he become a plunder? The young lions are roaring at him. How loudly they are roaring. They desolate his country, demolishing and depopulating his cities. The people of Naph and Tachpanhashes feed on the crown of your head. Haven't you brought this on yourself by abandoning Yehovah your God when he led you along the way? If you go to Egypt, what's in it for you? Drinking water from the Nile? If you go to Asher, what's in it for you? Drinking water from the Euphrates River? Your own wickedness will correct you. Your own backslidings will convict you. You will know and see how bad and bitter it was to abandon Yehovah your God, and how fear of me is not in you, says Yehovah Elohim Sabaoth. For long ago I broke your yoke. When I snapped your chains, you said, I won't sin. Now we're going back to Exodus 19 and Exodus 24. Exodus 19:18. All the people answered as one, everything Yehovah has said, we will do. And Moshe reported the words of the people to Yehovah. Exodus 24:3. Moshe came and told the people everything Yehovah had said, including all the rulings. The people answered with one voice, we will obey every word Yehovah has spoken. And that's what we're talking about in Jeremiah 2, verse 20. Continuing on to the last part of verse 20. Yet on every high hill, under every green tree, you sprawled and prostituted yourself. But I planted you as a choice vine of seed, fully tested and true. How did you degenerate into a wild vine for me? Even if you scrub yourself with soda and plenty of soap, the stain of your guilt is still there before me, says Yehovah Elohim. How can you say I'm not defiled? I have not pursued the Baalim. Look at your conduct in the valley. Understand what you have done. You are a restive young female camel running here and there, wild, accustomed to the desert, sniffing the wind in her lust. Who can control her when she's in heat? Males seeking her need not weary themselves, for at mating season they will find her. Stop before your shoes wear out and your throat is dry from thirst. Now we all know that rings of the desert travails in Deuteronomy 29:5. I led you 40 years in the desert, neither the clothes on your body nor the shoes on your feet wear out. But again, in Jeremiah 2, verse 25, it says, but you say, no, it's hopeless. I love these strangers, and I'm going after them. Just as a thief is ashamed when caught, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their leaders, their Kohanim, and their prophets, who say to a log, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave us birth. for they have turned their backs on me instead of their faces. But when trouble comes, they will plead, rouse yourself and save us. Where are your gods that you made for yourselves? Let them rouse themselves, if they can save you when trouble comes. Yehuda, you have as many gods as you have cities. Why argue with me? You have all rebelled against me, says Yehovah. In vain have I struck down your people. They would not receive correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a marauding lion. I heard that term, marauding lion, and of course the first scripture that comes to mind is 1 Peter 5:8. Stay sober, stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, stalks about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But something tells me the concept that's coming across here is more specifically Ezekiel 22:25. There is a conspiracy of prophets in it, like a roaring lion tearing up the prey. They have devoured people, seized wealth and valuables, and widowed many in it. Jeremiah 2:31, you of this generation, look at the word of Yehovah. Have I been a desert to Israel, or a land of oppressive darkness? Well, he asked these questions legitimately because we have Nehemiah, Psalms, and Proverbs to say he's not oppressive. Nehemiah 9:19, still, you, in your great compassion, did not abandon them in the desert. The column of cloud did not leave them by day. It kept leading them along the way. By night, the column of fire kept showing them light and the path to take. Psalm 119:105, one of our favorite scriptures. Your word is a lamp for my foot and a light on my path. And Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining ever brighter until full daylight. So we hear just these three scriptures, and we can understand Yehovah's questioning, have I brought you to a land of oppressive darkness? The land was based on his word. Why, do my people say, we're free to roam, we will no longer come to you? Does a girl forget her jewelry or a bride her wedding sash? Yet my people have forgotten me, days beyond numbering. You are so clever in your search for love that the worst of women can learn from you. Right there on your clothing is the blood of the innocent, poor, although you never caught them breaking and entering. Yet concerning all these things you say, I'm innocent. Surely he's no longer angry at me. Kind of sounds like he knows my heart. That's verse 35 of Jeremiah 2. Here, I am passing sentence on you because you say, I have done nothing wrong. You cheapen yourself when you change course so often. You will be disappointed by Egypt too, just as you were disappointed by Asher. Yes, you will leave him too, with your hands on your heads in shame. For Yehovah rejects those in whom you trust. From them you will gain nothing. From all this we can learn many things. I've had my impressions, lessons, and understanding from these words, but I don't want to change any concept you may have gathered or meaning that falls on your ears with my interpretations of the above. I will leave the words just as they are, so Yehovah can speak personally to you, so he that has ears can hear what Ruach HaKodesh is saying to the Messianic communities. These prophecies specifically relate to what we hear in Revelation, and we have to know the beginning before we can possibly cipher the end. Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Deuteronomy 30:11. For this mitzvah which I am giving you today is not too hard for you. It's not beyond your reach. It isn't in the sky so that you need to ask, who will go up into the sky for us and bring it to us and make us hear it so we can obey it? Likewise, it isn't beyond the sea so that you need to ask, who will cross the sea for us, bring it to us and make us hear it so we can obey it? On the contrary, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart. Therefore, you can do it. Ayivarecha Yehovah Vaishmarecha. Yair Yehovah Panafaleka Vikuneka. Yisa Yehovah Panafaleka Viyasem Lekasharon. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift his face towards you and give you peace.
Mashiach ben David.